Hello, everybody. This is Salil Tripathi from the Institute for Human Rights and Business. And I'm here talking today with Aida Seoats, who is a project leader for sustainability policy and compliance at the Inter-IKEA Group, which is part of the IKEA family. We are going to talk about remedy, about ethical recruitment, and issues such as that, which are one of the top 10 concerns that we have identified for this year. So Aida, my first question to you is that what does ethical recruitment and responsible recruitment mean to you?
Yeah, super. Thank you very much, Salil. This is an excellent question. Migrant workers, and more specifically ethical and responsible recruitment of migrant workers, has been one of our top topics for the last couple of years already, because we identify it as one of the main challenges in our supply chains. We see it as an absolute prerequisite to have a decent work in our supply chains. There simply has to be responsible recruitment. The fact nowadays is that we have millions of people around the world migrating for work, and our task as a company is to ensure that people in our supply chain are recruited responsibly. Now, of course, this brings a lot of questions, and as we know, I mean, it is a worldwide challenge. There are various recruitment corridors around the world which are very challenging, to say the least, where perhaps governmental legislation is not sufficient or it is not enforced properly. And what we then face there is migrant workers being charged excessively high and often illegal recruitment fees and related costs. And this presents a major challenge for respect of basic mm-hmm. human rights, because mm-hmm. what ends up there is that these workers end up in basically what is debt bondage or mm-hmm. forced labor situation, yep. because they have accumulated debts, which then they need to sometimes work even
years
over
to
a year
yes.
to exactly to repay them.
Yep.
And we absolutely do not want this to be happening to the mm-hmm. workers in our supply chains.
So how do you address it? What kind of a remedy have you thought of?
Yeah. So, of course, it goes in stages. One of the main principles that we are following is so-called employer-based principle. And this is based on a simple idea that no worker should pay for a job. It is simply not ethical and it is not right. But this is unfortunately a reality now in many places around the world. So what we're trying to achieve is that the actual employer is the one who covers the recruitment fees and mm-hmm. costs. If you as an employer cannot find a local labor force mm-hmm. and you need to look abroad for it, it is up to you. It is your business cost to bring workers. Mm-hmm. It's not the workers the one who should pay to
right.
come to work to you. So this was one of our first steps, was to include this policy in our code of conduct and to work with our suppliers. At the same time, I need to, you know, stress very clearly that this is by far not an easy task. We're talking about a very complex process of international recruitment, where you might be facing different legislations. Each corridor has its own specifics. Each recruitment sector in the countries, they're working in a different way. There are different traps or different mm-hmm. tricks and so on. So it's very, very important to know the corridors in detail. So this is also why we understand we cannot place too high of a requirements on our suppliers from the very beginning. So what we are working on, and we have just currently launched a new approach within IKEA with our suppliers on responsible recruitment, where we are really training in depth our suppliers on how to handle recruitment in a responsible mm-hmm. way, because you need to know how to talk to the recruitment agencies, what are the tricks that you need to address, how the proper contract for responsible recruitment with the recruitment agency looks like, and so on, because this is usually where the challenges then happen. It's not with our suppliers. They might now have a very best intention to recruit ethically, but there are perhaps four different actors in this, in both country of origin and country of destination, that are having a big effect on this process.
So how do you monitor compliance? Because it all boils down yes. to that, isn't it, in the end, that you have standards,
yeah.
you expect it of your suppliers. How do you monitor compliance there?
I mean, I would say definitely it goes step by step, because mm-hmm. as I said before, we cannot go from 0 to 100% just by simply placing mm-hmm. a requirement. It is not, obviously, it's not going to work, since the entire recruitment market is working in quite the opposite way. Not that employers are paying, but that the workers are paying. So we have basically taken step-by-step approach. I have to say that this is not just with our suppliers. This was the journey on our side as well. We, IKEA as a company, had to learn a lot. For this reason, we entered into partnerships with International Organization for Migration and with Verité, with which we did detailed mapping of certain of our labor supply chain corridors leading to our suppliers, and through that we really learned a lot. So once we had new learnings on what else is happening, then we introduced additional requirements to our suppliers. And basically, as we're doing right now, it is included in the usual auditing system. We have quite a strong verification process, including our own auditing teams as well as third party auditors. But I would at this point out one more significant thing when it comes to verification of it is fundamentally different from any type of verification that we have done until now. Because until now we have been dealing with the things that happen at our supplier at the present time at the facilities of our suppliers. And the auditor came and the audit happens. But what we are actually trying to verify here is what happened to the workers or to the candidates in another country, done by other actors, and now in the present moment, we are trying to verify something that took place in another country in the past. So it does require some adjustment from our side as well, because this is not your typical verification method, for instance, that you can, as an audit. You need much more in-depth knowledge, and there are multiple countries involved. Already one basic challenge that occurs is simply that auditors usually speak the local language and migrant workers come from elsewhere. You know, do we have the support that and auditors that are able to actually speak to migrant workers to conduct proper interviews with them? And there's a lot more, and then it comes to the recruitment agencies because a lot happens there and most of the fees and costs get charged there. So this is a further step where we need to have a look at in the verification.
So the work is never done, but I'm still curious because it still is fairly comprehensive what you're doing. So how replicable it is in other industries and other companies? I mean, do you exchange notes with other, because this is not a competitive issue in a way.
Absolutely, you're absolutely right. I mean, we have realized this years ago already, because what we're effectively trying to change here is change the market.
Yeah.
Right now, the majority of recruitment market is doing business in this way, and we're trying to turn that around. We are certainly, I mean, one could think that yes, of course, you're a global corporation, you have a big influence, but we are actually, even just by influencing our suppliers and our supply chain, we're still a drop in the ocean. So we realized very early on that we will need here multi-stakeholder engagement. And luckily, after a couple of years, we can say that it's really happening on many levels, and we are very, very happy to see this. Today is a fact, no matter in which sector you work, in which country, or if you have migrant workers, or maybe if you don't know that you have them, I could say that almost, you know, I'm almost certain that every single major company is affected by this issue. They might not know about it, but they are. And this is one of the reasons why we were also very keen on in connecting in so-called Leadership Group for Responsible Recruitment, which was launched now more than a year ago, in which we have joined with some of the other big companies. And we have, of course, Institutes for Human Rights and Business leading it, and we have IOM and Verité and so on, some great partners in it. And together we have committed to implement employer-based model or principle within our supply chains in the next 10 years. And also, very importantly, we have committed that we will together advocate for it, because really we need to join forces if we want to change the way our
collective action is the way forward.
And at the same time, I mean, I have to give credit also to the other organizations doing great job in and we are all very aligned. I have to say it's very beneficial. Consumer Goods Forum doing some amazing job. The same goes for the former EICC, now Responsible Business Alliance. I mean, these are all great projects, and we are all working in the same direction. So we just need to keep up the effort.
Thanks very much, and all the very best to you.
Thank you very much.